Welcome to the worship from Daleville Christian Church. This is Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Easter, as we read about it in God's Word, that Jesus would enter the city of Jerusalem for the purpose of enjoying the Passover celebration with Jesus' people. And there were crowds welcoming Jesus and his entourage, for a crowd also followed them into the city of Jerusalem. We have an affirmation of our faith, and for today it's from 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter, which tells us of the events, that we believe these events that took place in that week before the first day of the week, Sunday, we call Easter, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. We believe Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. The reading of God's Word for today, for today's message, is from the book of Acts in chapter 26, verses 22 and 23. This is a part of a speech that is written which the Apostle Paul spoke, and we are in the middle of that presentation as we take it up in verse 22. But God has helped me to this very day. So I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer, and as the first who rise from the dead would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Words placed on the Apostle Paul's lips. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer. We moderns today, we followers of Jesus, cannot claim that the Apostle Paul, whose words are quoted for today's message, we cannot claim that the Apostle Paul was present in Jerusalem on that Passover when Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem. If the Apostle Paul was present in Jerusalem the same Passover, Paul never mentioned it in any of the writings that have been left to us in our Bibles. But these words in the book of Acts, in the mouth of Paul, state clearly that the Apostle Paul claimed nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer. If you read the gospel accounts, even if you never read and understood the Old Testament, you could accurately guess that our Lord Jesus lived on the edge. That is, Jesus seemed to live a life of danger. A life of danger from the authorities, both Jewish and Gentile. Jesus never appeared to do anything in particular that would get himself and the disciples in trouble. However, as we read the scriptures, there were those who were working to build a case against Jesus. Now, first of all, we read about John the Baptizer. His message was similar to Jesus. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. John had disciples. Jesus had disciples. The authorities killed John. The Jewish king, governor or tetrarch, they called him, he had John beheaded. So when you read that, what do you think Jesus' chances are of surviving? Not good. Remember when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am? What is the word on the street?" The answer came back, "Some say you are John the Baptizer, alive again." One of the Herod brothers was told the very same thing. We read of some Pharisees who hounded Jesus with questions to catch Jesus or trick Jesus into saying something that could be prosecuted. And remember, the book of Acts reminds us that there had already been guys who claimed to be leaders and got crowds behind them, and the Romans killed them. So if you keep your eyes open for this stuff, it does appear early on that Jesus' days on earth were numbered. Then we can read that Jesus himself told the disciples at least three times. We read in Matthew chapter 16 and again in Matthew chapter 17, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Luke's gospel included three occasions when Jesus told the disciples, but the disciples couldn't hear it. Jesus told them the same thing I just read to you from Matthew's gospel, but the disciples could not hear it. Peter even opposed Jesus' vision of the future, leading to Jesus' famous rebuke, "Get behind me, Satan." The meaning of that verse was that the whole vision was going to go forward according to the scriptures, and even Satan couldn't stand in the way by preventing it from happening. I do want you to notice Jesus' reference to Satan, because we're going to talk about Satan in the coming weeks. More properly, we're going to talk about Satan and Jesus in the coming weeks. There's not a lot of point in my talking about Satan. We're going to talk about Jesus and Satan in the coming weeks. But Satan cannot prevent the will of God going forward. Clearly, Jesus knew there was a plan, God's plan, and Jesus told the disciples about God's plan, and the disciples couldn't hear it. Despite Peter's statement of opposition to Jesus' vision of the near future, the Gospels also show us that the plan was unfolding and everything was going according to plan. Luke put it this way, chapter 9, "And it came to pass when the time was come that Jesus should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." Other versions put it this way, "When the days drew near for Jesus to be received up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem." When the days were coming to a close for Jesus to be taken up, he determined to journey to Jerusalem. The gospel writers make it clear. The plan was going forward, and the predicted actions were going to be set in motion. But the gospel writers make something else very clear. The way the gospel writers stated it, the reader should know that Jerusalem and death were not the ultimate destination for Jesus. John states it clearly several times. Jesus was going to the Heavenly Father, and the way to the Heavenly Father was through Jerusalem and death. And when Luke states that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem, it meant that Jesus was determined to go. It meant that Jesus would not be stopped. In reference to today, the day we call Palm Sunday, Matthew gave us these words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 26. Jesus replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" The time is near. All those things that Jesus told the disciples about were about to take place as they head to Jerusalem. Jesus would not be stopped from going to and getting to Jerusalem because it was time. Jesus had even said, "My time has not yet fully come," said in John's gospel. Another reference to the timing of events of which Moses and the prophets spoke. But once the time was right, when the time had indeed come, Jesus headed to Jerusalem, where Jesus had said, "The prophets of God are killed." Now, I don't know about you, but most of what I heard and read as a child about Holy Week focused on Jesus' death. Do you remember it that way? The focus was on the crucifixion itself as a sad and tragic event. But Jesus' death was not sad or tragic. The method of Jesus' death was certainly horrible, but that's the Romans for you, a cruel people. Jesus' words in John are a little more upbeat. "I am going to the Father." It's a little more upbeat because Jesus is looking past the pain. Jesus is looking past the abuse. Jesus is looking past the torture. Jesus is looking to where Jesus is going. Jesus was looking to Jesus' destination, not the methods of travel that would take him there. As I mentioned, when I was growing up, and what I read showed me a Holy Week of tragedy rather than a week of celebration. History and the Bible tells us that Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem was not a step closer to Jesus being a political king in Jerusalem, even though that was what the crowds were hoping was true. Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem was not a step closer to Jesus being a political king in Jerusalem, even though all the trappings of kingship were there. Jesus, the lineage of David, arriving on a donkey, like David, into the city of Jerusalem. But Jesus was not a step closer to being the leader of Israel. But Jesus, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, Jesus was a step closer to winning. And what would Jesus win in Jerusalem? My salvation. Jesus entered Jerusalem to win my salvation and your salvation. I believe that you and I could get a little more excited about that when we read it in the gospel accounts. Jesus drew near to Jerusalem, and your salvation and my salvation drew nearer in that same moment. Jerusalem's salvation is not nearer as the crowds hoped it was. Your salvation is nearer as Jesus draws nearer to Jerusalem. You can be sad that Jesus died for your sins, but that Jesus died for your sins was true way before you were even born. It was true 2,000 years before you were even born. And if Jesus didn't die for your sins, what would have been your alternative to your salvation? There wasn't one. There was no alternative to Jesus' death for your sins. There was never a plan B for your salvation. Your salvation and my salvation had to happen the way we read that it happened. And when you read the entire Bible, Moses and the prophets and the Psalms declared it. So you can be sad in Holy Week if you want to be. But you and I are going to get saved through the events of Holy Week. What did the risen Christ say to the disciples on the road to the town of Emmaus after he was resurrected? Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are. How foolish you are. And how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And for whatever reason, my church, growing up, chose to focus on the suffering Messiah rather than the next thing that happened and couldn't happen without the suffering. Jesus then entered into his glory. A glory that Jesus will share with us. Romans chapter 8. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, that we may also share in his glory. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory for our Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps the idea of teaching me to be sad during Holy Week was to help make me ashamed of my sins. Maybe. Little did I know that shame, seems to me, is optional. I sin, I will be judged for my sin. Shouldn't I get to know the judge, Jesus? Answer, yes. I don't see that sorrow is a necessary part of that matter-of-fact statement. Shame can't prevent my sin, and shame can't prevent my judgment. Shame seems optional to me. I don't have to be taught to be ashamed. Sin is simply not doing what is best for me, and what is always best for me is the will of God. From how I read the Bible, I never had a chance at wanting to do the will of God. Even God seems to have given up on the idea of my people doing God's will when only Noah's family got into the ark. Am I or am I not a child of Adam, so to speak? Well, I may be part Neanderthal, as I've told you, but that isn't any excuse for me. I'm still mostly a child of Adam, and therefore I sin just like those early humans we call Adam and Eve. If I insist on my own way instead of God's way, later I am more likely to experience regret for what I did do and regret for what I didn't do, and regret for the time I lost, and regret for the opportunities I lost to make everything better. But I don't have to look back in history to be sorry. I only have to look around and see how messed up the world is. And I understand that the world is not how our God originally planned it. And we are the ones that wrecked the original plan. We've all tried to do our own thing. We've all tried to do it my way. We've all thought our ideas for our lives were better and often didn't even ask God if our plans had anything to do with God's plan for our lives. It isn't a surprise to me that my ideas would never have worked out, and the end of the story I worked on was not going to have a happy ending. Much better to follow God's plan for my life. My advice continues to be that it would be a much better plan to get to know the judge who will judge your life on Judgment Day. And that's Jesus. We followers of Jesus will get to share in our Lord Jesus' glory, and we almost missed it. I guess you might be sad about that, but as a follower of Jesus, you haven't missed it. You and I will get to share in our Lord's glory. Praise be to God who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 2, one of our affirmations of faith. As the Apostle Paul testified, so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and, as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. That's us. Amen.